of Mark chapter 1. And we're going to be asking if one of the brothers who usually read for us could read from verse 29 through about verse 30. In fact, you could read from verse 23. One of you brothers who usually read for us. Okay, we don't have any of the readers here.
Yes, I'm here, I'm here. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee.
Okay, and you may stop there. That's about verse 27.
28,
yeah. You may stop there. Learning from Jesus's miracle, there are quite a lot of important things to observe and to learn from this text. There are a few things I want to upfront point out which are not really a part of this lesson, but because they are discussions we have had over the past many weeks where some of these things came up, I feel that it would be profitable for you to learn from these points. Over the past many weeks, where we discuss, especially from the passage of 2 Kings chapter 6 and chapter 8, but especially chapter 6, where we have discussed about 3 to 4 lessons titled "They That Are With Us Are Greater or More Than They That Are With Them." In the last lesson that was discussed last week, I pointed out that the "more than" has a lot of implication. Now, mark you, tonight's lesson is not about that. But there are, as I study this passage of Mark chapter 1, I see some things in it that can further illustrate those truths that we learn about more than. In part of that lesson, I pointed out that there is no example, there is no case anywhere to be found in the entire Bible where evil spirit, satanic spirit, or agent ever have the true spirit, the child of God, on the run, are running away from the evil spirit. Never. And this is important in that many times for men and women who have not yet developed to understand the awesome power of God. Many times we think that God and Satan are almost co-equal, and that the battle being fought between God and Satan, it's like you have co-equal power. God is one power and Satan is one power. And many times, some of the experiences that Christians have, it might tempt a Christian to feel that God is not able. The atheist and the agnostic asks, if God can stop suffering, why does he permit innocent people to suffer? And the consideration is, it would appear as if God is handicapped, as if some things are outside of the power of God and it is contained in another power. Don't ever let your imagination pull you away to think like that. Satan and God are not co-equal. Those representing evil, evil defiance against God, those working under Satan's influence, those working under Satan's influence are never in charge of a situation. Run with me to the passage again. Read me verse 25 following. Mark 1.
And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him.
Wait. Read from verse 23.
And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit.
Unclean spirit means demonic spirit. It means agents of Satan. Simply what it means. Spirit, unseen personality or power working by Satan influence. Read.
And he cried out, saying.
Now this is the unclean spirit, the satanic spirit, the demonic spirit crying out, saying.
Let us alone.
Let us alone.
What have we to do with thee?
What have we to do with you?
Thou Jesus of Nazareth.
You Jesus of Nazareth.
Art thou come to destroy us?
Are you come to destroy us?
I know thee who
Wait,
thou
notice
art.
Notice this. A simple statement. But it is saying a lot. I know you. This is important. The evil spirit knew who Jesus Christ was. Watch here. Even more than the audience. Read that. I know you, who you are.
Holy One of God.
You are the Holy One of God.
And Jesus rebuked him.
Jesus, here again is something that is easily overlooked. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. Read.
Saying,
say,
hold thy peace and come out of him.
Watch it. There are two things said here. Hold your peace. And that, brothers and sisters, means don't tell this crowd who I am. That's what that means. Don't tell this crowd who I am. Come out of the person whom you possess. Now, did the evil spirit obey Jesus Christ? They had to. They had to. Even the evil spirit. Read on.
And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him.
That's right. Read on.
And they were all amazed, in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirit.
With authority, even the demonic spirit, those spirits that are under Satan's control, obey Jesus Christ. Wait. When Elisha said, they that are with us are more than they that are with them. As I've said then, it has always been so. Not only in numbers, but in the power and the authority that those representing Jesus Christ represent. Then and now. Watch here, read on.
And they do obey him.
That's the people reasoning that even those forces that are under Satan's control had to obey Jesus Christ. That was so not only then, but now. Read on.
And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee.
What verse is that?
28.
Step down to 33 and 34.
And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of
diverse diseases.
And cast out many devils.
He cast out many demons. That is, again, when you read the passage and it talks about devils, evil spirit and things, it just means forces, spirit that are under Satan's control. He cast out many demons. Read.
Cast out many devils and suffered not the devils.
Notice this now. And suffered not the demonic spirit, the devils. That is, the word suffer mean permit. Permit not the demonic spirit to do what?
To speak. Because they knew him.
I wonder if you get this. You see, again, we come upon this which flow through the passage. Jesus Christ did many supernatural things. But he had not, before this audience, claimed his messiahship as the Son of God. On one occasion, when the demonic spirit acknowledge it, we know who you are. You are the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ says, hold thy peace, that is shut up. But here we come upon the same thing again. Where Jesus Christ, read verse 34 again.
And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak.
He permit not the devils to speak.
Because they knew him.
Because the devil knew who he was. He wanted to keep himself inconspicuous. limitation on the mouth of the demonic spirit. What the passage shows that, again, it's a point that I have emphasized a lot in the past, less over the past, that demonic spirit can never stand up to the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe in the lesson last week, I point out, this is why so many places in the book of Acts of the Apostles, we read, this was done in the name of, that is by the authority of Jesus Christ, because no power can stand up to the authority of Christ. And that is seen in this passage of Mark chapter 1 from verse 23 through 27 and verse 33 and 34. Twice in this short text, Jesus Christ didn't beg the demonic spirit, command them, shut your mouth. And they had to shut their mouth. You are on the winning side as a Christian. You must never doubt the power of God. You must never think that Satan might be, in this case, winning against Jesus Christ. No. Satan operates under the permissive will of God. We must remember that. Christian, you are not to, but in case you are, you have no reason to be afraid of Obia. You ought not to, but in case you are, because Obiarism only represents satanic work, and that cannot stand up before Jesus Christ. Can I get to my lesson now for tonight? It's from the same passage of Mark. There are a lot of avenues or sources from which we can learn about Jesus Christ's Christianity. We can learn about religion, about the church, and about the apostles. A lot of sources. In fact, there are so many sources available today. But the one dependable, authentic source is the Bible. When you want to learn about Jesus Christ, about Christianity, about the religion of Christ, about the church that Christ built, about the plan of salvation that God has to save all men, the one true, authentic source is the Bible. And particularly the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, from this miracle, we're looking on the miracle that is told about in the same chapter, your chapter 1, verse 29 through 30. Let us hear it again, quick. Mark 1.
And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her.
Read.
And he came and took her by the hand.
Here was a sick woman. They told Jesus Christ about her. They came and took her by
her hand and lifted her up.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately the fever left her.
Mm-hmm.
And she ministered unto them.
Okay, stop there. Just want to run through a few things here that will be helpful to you keeping them in mind. and especially the religious environment in which you and I live. We live in the time where men and women, for various reasons, but one of the reasons that people crave miracles so much is because of lack of faith. It's important that you keep this in mind. Men and women who don't feel satisfied in serving God out of pure faith, they yearn for something tangible to give them the proof that they are really serving God. So when you see people want to persuade you or me that they receive a miracle from God, that they receive a miracle from God, are they seeing a miracle? They really need a miracle to give substance to their relationship with God. Now, they will never get an authentic miracle. Because, as I've said many times and will continue to say for your learning, is that while God is still working today for his people, he's not working miraculously. He's working providentially.
That's right.
Meaning, God is working behind the scenes. Today, do you as a child of God need food because the house is empty and you're broke? And you do everything in your power? Will God rain manna from heaven? No. Will God take care of your need? Yes. But he's not going to shower down bread from heaven. He's going to work behind the scenes. He may just at that very moment when you feel that, just as when you go to bed hungry, send somebody whom you have seen for months. Person came by your way just to give you something. God works like that. That's what we call providential. He's working behind the scenes. He's not working in the dramatic way of miracle. But men and women who do not understand how God works, they crave a miracle because their faith is small or shallow or weak. So from this miracle, the miracle, first, it tells us something about Jesus the Christ. That's one of the first things about this miracle. It tells us something about Jesus Christ. Notice this. What does it tell us about Christ? Jesus Christ did not need a crowd or an audience to exercise his power or to do miracles. This is important in our time. Because the so-called miracle workers of our time have to have a crowd. They have to have an audience. Literally all the people today that claim they can work miracles, they need a crowd. They usually need a crowd at our stadium or wherever. Come expect a miracle. But that's not the way Jesus Christ and his apostle work in doing authentic miracle. Because, as I've said, Jesus Christ didn't need a crowd. He didn't need an audience to exercise his power or to do miracle. Jesus Christ did not need the fanfare or the public relationship stunt that false miracle workers of today need. Jesus Christ could do a miracle in the privacy of a bedroom. Authentic miracle. Most so-called miracle workers today don't do their miracle behind closed door. Their so-called miracle, because they do not really perform miracle. Jesus Christ did his with complete success in private, in many cases. There is a second thing here. One, in Jesus Christ and this miracle, we see the complete independence of Jesus' power. That is, Jesus' power in doing miracle was not dependent on human response. In other words, when Jesus Christ set out to do a miracle, whether you believe it or not, it's going to be done. Lack of faith in Christ or what he was about to do did not stop him from doing successful miracles. That's very important because it shows that Jesus' power did not depend on human being to make it powerful. Whether you believe when Jesus Christ decided he's going to do something to me for it to be done for the manifestation of God's power, that miracle was done. Even if everybody around did not believe in him. This shows or tells something about the independence of Christ's power, not dependent on human response or lack of response. Jesus' miracle tells us that faithless men and women do not limit or stop the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. Probably some of them at least 20, 25 years ago, there's hardly a year passed when some international so-called miracle worker was not coming to the stadium or wherever, these massive meetings. And usually most of the people who go to be healed return to their house still not being healed. And one of the excuse people would make is that they have no faith. That is, those who return not having received healing is that they have no faith. You could never make that claim with Jesus Christ or the apostles of Christ. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? They had never set out. That is, after the day of Pentecost, they had never set out, Jesus Christ or his apostle, they had never set out to do a miracle and fail after the day of Pentecost. After that day when they were baptized with the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, none of the apostles of Jesus Christ had ever attempted a miracle and failed. It matters how faithless the person was. It is on that I'm saying faithless men and women do not limit or stop the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. One authentic statement or sentence from Jesus Christ and the healing was complete. Jesus Christ just needed to make one statement. The apostles of Jesus Christ needed only to make one statement and the thing was done. May I challenge people who come to you with these fake miracles that they should search the book of Acts of the Apostles. And that we are dealing here with after they received the baptism and measure of the Holy Spirit. Find me one place where any apostle of Jesus Christ has ever made an excuse. Ever had to say, well, we were unsuccessful in that miracle because the subject did not have faith. There is none. None of Christ. Apostle ever had to make any excuse. Jesus' miracles were never used to help Jesus' prestige or Jesus' self-image. It's important. No time was miracle done by Christ or the apostle for that reason to help Jesus' self-image, to make him look more authentic. Jesus Christ was authentic without miracle. Never was miracle used to help his prestige or his self-image. Jesus Christ and his apostle performed miracles based on the purpose of the Almighty God. What God wanted for that moment, for that man, for that woman. It was on that basis, the purpose of God, on which Christ and the apostle performed miracles. You remember the blind man. This came up, of course, and there is an illustration from that coming up in Sunday morning's lesson as we continue the series of lessons. The secret things belongeth unto God, but the things that are revealed belongeth unto man, next week. And one of the points is that they had already worked out why this man was born blind. And Jesus Christ showed them that on both counts. You know, we have a way. We speculate. And you know when we speculate, the more we don't know anything, the more we speculate. That's right. And in so many cases, our speculations are wrong, incorrect. They speculate, this man born blind, or was blind, and it must be, that's the way they will read it, either that is experiencing, if it is not that, it must be that he said. Jesus Christ said to them, on both counts you are wrong. From this child was formed in its mother's womb. The Almighty God had fixed it that the child born blind. You know for what reason? God's power. This God had fixed it that this infant born blind. So that by Jesus Christ came along to do God's work and to redeem us. That's how God works. That's how great God is. Are you going to quarrel with God?
Brother Mitchell, how could God make the little pickney barn blind?
Don't that little pickney belong to God? Can the clay say to the potter, why make it me like this? The miracle we have just seen, I read of in Mark chapter 1, tells us something of the disciples. That's right. You see, the miracle tells us about Jesus Christ. We have just dealt with that. But it also tells us something of the disciples of Jesus Christ. The disciples had not known Jesus Christ for very long at this point when the miracle was performed. But even in this short acquaintance, they had begun to take all their troubles to Jesus Christ. Brother Mitchell, please repeat that. They had not been with Christ very long when this miracle was performed. But even with their short acquaintanceship with Christ, they had learned to take all their troubles to him. Verse 30. Remember, we are at Mark chapter 1.
But Simon's wife, Martha, lay sick of fever, and Anon, they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her.
Simon what?
And Simon's wife, mother, lay sick of a fever.
That Simon's mother-in-law was sick of fever.
And
no, wait, they did not go around like fowl with their head cut off. They knew that if Jesus Christ was there, that's the person to whom to take that problem. And what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, before I say that, I repeat that the apostles, the disciples of Jesus Christ at this point had not been disciples for a long time. But they learned this. Whatever their challenges, take it to him.
Amen.
And here we have a case where they took their problem to Jesus Christ. And Christ was adequate to the problem.
Amen.
A lot of time we are faced with problem, and to this day, a while ago, that I said you should not believe in Obi. But if you do, there are many people, even in the church, that still go to what they call spiritualists, Fourier doctrine. Don't do that. Because when you do that, you separate the Almighty God from you. All the help that would come from God cut off once you start looking help in these ungodly, from these ungodly sources. The disciples learn early that which becomes the habit of a lifetime. I repeat, the disciples learn early to depend on and to take their problem to Christ. This became an habit of a lifetime. And so it should be for us. Run to 1 Peter 5:7. Quick.
Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
That's right. Simple truth, yes. Not some of your care, all of it. Because the first consideration is that Jesus Christ cares. He cares for you as an individual. You know. May I? I'm closing. As Christian, we must learn this. Whatever confronts us in life, it must always be prayer first,
amen,
prayer last, mm-hmm, and prayer always. Amen. Whatever confronts us in life, take it to God. And last but not least, the miracle that we have just read about in Mark 1:27-30. The miracle tells us something about Peter's wife, Martha. But Brother Mitchell, there's nothing there about Peter's wife, Martha. There are a lot there. And while I'm going to just run through it in a few minutes, I wish we had the time to take time off to look at it more deeply. Let us hear verse 31, quick.
And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her,
mm-hmm,
and she ministered unto them.
Mm-hmm.
That's 31.
May I? Almost immediately she was healed, she began to attend to the need of others. That's a lesson for us. Almost immediately, she used her gain or her received health to serve others. We were saved to save others.
That's right.
You know, she could have used as excuse, Brother such and such, sister such and such, me just get better, me weak, or me not fully recover. Or me not have the ability. No, immediately as she was healed, she used her gain health to serve the needs of others. That's a lesson for us. Thank you.
We will turn to song number 416, 416. What a friend we have in Jesus. 416. Please stand as we sing this song. 416. We will sing stanzas 1 and 3. 416.